This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. Thanks for listening. When someone dies under mysterious circumstances, that death is investigated by a medical examiner. In Detroit, that work is left up to the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office, which has a really high volume of work every year. Their task is really important. They need to determine why someone died, often with limited information at their disposal. Recently, the families of two shooting victims in Detroit filed a $1 million civil rights claim against the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office. That's because in two separate cases, homicide declarations for individuals who died by gunfire were overturned and reclassified as suicides following Detroit Police Department homicide investigations. To talk more about these cases, why they were deemed suicides, and the broader potential problems related to homicide investigations in Detroit, we've got WDET reporter Eli Newman here with us, who has been covering these two cases. Eli, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me on, Stephen.
Yeah. So there are these two families suing the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office. Tell us quickly what happened in these two cases and why the determinations about their deaths were changed.
Well, the two cases involved two different individuals. The earliest one was Kenesha Coleman. This was a 25-year-old mother of two who died from and I should say some of the stuff I'm going to describe is kind of graphic, mm-hmm. but died of a gunshot wound to her abdomen. This was in July 2020. While there was an initial homicide investigation, medical examiners declared her death a homicide. Some 8 months later, it was changed to a suicide based off of polygraph testimony from witnesses at the scene. This kind of went against some of the information that her mother was told following the death regarding just how the wound displayed itself, you know, initial conversations with police investigators. And so that kind of change, especially that far removed from the shooting, was a real a shock to the family. And in the second case, this is involving a young man by the name of Isaiah White. He was 22 years old, died in September 2021. This was from a shotgun wound to the back of the head. Police initially communicated that this was a homicide investigation. Some weeks later, it was overturned and changed to a suicide. And family say that they haven't really been told the rationale behind some of those changes. And I should say both of these cases do involve the City of Detroit Homicide Unit in terms of these investigations. That's the kind of the thread that runs through both of this. Also that all these deaths are recent, that this is kind of a post or a pandemic era time where police resources, investigation, gun violence in general was up. Yeah. Staffing was down.
Yeah. So we have a clip here of how Isaiah White's parents feel about the case and the change in determination about his death. I want to listen to that.
They never notified us.
And we had called him many, many times.
Right. Called, emailed, you know, and nothing. It's a cover-up. That's it. Nothing else. There's a cover-up with my son's homicide.
They're pretty clear there that they think there is something amiss or afoul about all of this. What are the possibilities that there is some kind of cover-up, and who would look into that in the medical examiner's office?
Well, I think the theory that both of these families and their attorney feel that is happening is that these deaths are being reclassified to change broader statistics in terms of how
to get rid of some homicides.
To get rid of some homicides, and you know, and I think that that's the rub of all this whole thing is that they're taking this issue to federal court because they haven't necessarily found this remedy in other avenues. I mean, you know, the Wayne County Commission does oversee these kinds of contracts with the morgue. What happens there? Obviously, we have oversight boards in Detroit, but that kind of oversight faced a lot of recent challenges. I mean, there's a big investigation going on with the board of police commissioners. So when there are problems against officer or officer conduct or the way that these investigations get communicated to family, there are these avenues that can exact some sort of change. But there have been issues, systemic issues with all of that, especially recently.
Yeah, yeah. I also want to play a clip from Dr. Carl Schmidt, who used to work at the Wayne County Morgue, the medical examiner's office. And he's talking here about the problems that he faced when he worked there.
Two of the freezers are the same age as the building. This building was inaugurated in 1995. The equipment per se is actually 27 years old.
Old equipment. I know I've heard lots of other things about the Wayne County Morgue. It's a place that I've actually been a number of times as a reporter, dating back to the early 90s when we had similar kinds of problems. I mean, part of the problem is volume, right, and staffing. But talk about what the problems are with the Wayne County Morgue and whether they have something to do with these two cases and these determinations.
Sure. So in that situation, Dr. Schmidt was talking about the actual conditions of the morgue. They were having refrigeration issues a couple of years ago, so much so that there was during one of our power outages, the refrigerator lost power and there was issues with decomposition. The actual conditions of these bodies. But, you know, I spoke with some of these medical examiners. They say that the county oversees roughly like 3,500 examinations every year. And what they told me in the course of this investigation is that half of those cases get a pending status. So you might imagine that somebody comes out of an examination, we know whether or not they died of natural causes or if they died of a homicide or of a suicide. The coroners are saying that generally they give this pending status, which means we don't necessarily know or we're still investigating for half of the examinations that they do. And then, you know, a final decision is made sometime later. The rationale there was that there's a lot of drug-related deaths is what they told me. But, of course, there are cases like this. I think this is one of the this kind of revision. I think they put that into this category, given some of the documentation that existed alongside of it. But they're at half staff in the last I checked in terms of how many medical examiners. There's like 4 medical examiners. They're looking for 8. So you can imagine, you know, a small number of people overseeing a large volume of these examinations. And what they told me is that when we make these kinds of changes, we don't necessarily have the capacity to go out and call a family and let them know, you know, the rationale behind it. You know, sometimes there's a conversation with the police department, who's going to take lead on these difficult conversations. And I think that what we've seen in these two cases is that those conversations left families wanting a little bit more of an explanation.
What is the likelihood that these will be resolved in a way that A, makes these families more satisfied with the outcome, but B, addresses these larger questions about the staffing and the funding for the medical examiner's office and the way that we investigate homicides in the city?
So, you know, like we said earlier, there is a lawsuit that's going on in federal court, and I think the family is hoping that exacts some kind of change. There's also been some recent changes going on with the morgue. I mean, for the last 10 years or so, since around 2011, the University of Michigan Medical School oversaw the entire morgue itself. You know, all the employees that were working there were U of M staff pathologists. That has now shifted in large part because of some of these issues that we've been discussing. That's transitioned to Wayne State University last October. And so now there's like a new administration in place, and they have hopes that, hey, we're going to get our staffing up. The contract is a little bit meatier in terms of the actual money, $72 million over 5 years. I think they're hoping that that's going to bring staffing and resources up to where they need to be. But I think there's a lingering doubt that these families have about enacting real change. You know, I think it's a really, there's this idea that the way that the police have been operating is something that is really hard to change. And so I think they're hoping to bring light on these issues, but ultimately I think there is a little bit of hesitation in terms of what is the long-term effect. Yeah. How can we actually make, you know, a necessary change?
Yeah. Okay. Eli Newman, reporter here at WDET. It's always great to have you in studio to talk about these stories. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Stephen.
That is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow. We're going to talk with photographer Stephen McGee about some of the most interesting neighborhoods in Detroit. He's someone who has been shooting the city of Detroit for a really long time. Really going to looking forward to a great conversation with him about things he's seen and experienced. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station. Your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.